thriller, real three. So you said you didn't see much in the Falaise Gap, but did you see destroyed German equipment and dead German troops?
Oh, plenty of dead German troops and equipment, animals, and terrible.
Why were the animals so terrible?
Upside down, he's all shattered, hit with shrapnel, and there was hundreds of them about.
But did the dead animals impress you more than the dead humans?
Yes, equally as much anyway.
Did you see the action of the Typhoon rocket planes in the Falaise?
Yes, in fact they were in close support, you see, with this breakout. And they were 100% success.
Did you have any narrow escapes at this time?
No. The next narrow escape I had was going down to the River Orne. We were going to cross the Orne, and we had to go down an old track. And we blew up on tunnel mines. And Jerry had us pinpointed, and he was shelling us something rotten. Our tank was on fire, and we couldn't get away from it for a bit. Anyway, eventually we did. And got back up the hill.
What damage was done to you?
It blew the tracks completely off.
Where was this?
This was on the way down to cross the River Orne.
Was anybody injured?
No. We were pretty lucky right the way through. I had one crew member who said, I shall never go in a tank again. And they didn't ever get him back in the tank.
After that,
Humphreys. No, he wouldn't ever go back in a tank.
After that mining, you mean?
No, after the blowing up.
Can you describe what happened to you after the breakout?
Not a lot. Of course, being blown up like that, we had to wait and have another tank brought up to us, which delayed us about a week, 10 days. And then we moved on up into Belgium, I think it was. Then, I can't be accurate on this, but I think it was Belgium we moved up to. And we had an order then to go back to France and pick up different kind of vehicle, buffaloes, which were amphibious, ready for the Walcheren push, which we did, and we trained on those on the Genk Canal. And
how did you like being in the buffaloes as compared with the same tank?
I didn't go much on them because they were so flimsy. 303 would go right through them. There was no armour to them at all. But you could get about on boggy and bad ground with them, you see. They had big wide tracks to pull you along in the water, you see. And they propelled by the tracks. They didn't have propellers or anything, just propelled by their own tracks.
How did that work?
Worked very well, yes. The only trouble is if you came out on land and you did it much travelling on the land, you lost quite a lot of the paddles on the tracks because they were big spoon-like paddles on them, on the tracks.
And was it the same kind of crew that you had?
Yes, a slightly different crew. We changed. I had a driver then, his name was Tristram. I forget who you didn't have so many crew on a Buffalo, only three crew.
Why was that?
You didn't need them. You only needed a driver and a commander and a wireless operator.
Did you take part in the Walcheren operation?
Oh yes, we did three landings round there. Breskens, Beaverland, South Beaverland, North Beaverland, and then we went back to...
What happened during those landings?
What do you mean, what happened?
What happened to you personally?
Well, nothing, it's just we had to go in, and the main idea of these buffaloes were to ferry troops in on them. And that's what we had to do, you see. Infantry.
Was the fire as bad as on D-Day?
Yes. In a lot of the cases, yes. Breskens, it was pretty hot. And when we went into West Capella on Walcheren Island, it was really rough there.
What were the buffaloes conveyed in across to Walcheren?
They weren't. We paddled out. Landcraft again, exactly the same. We loaded up at Ostend, and one of my best pals, Henderson, Chick Henderson, he said to me, "This is our last one, boy." He said, "We play with fire long enough." I said, "Don't be daft. We got this far. We'll get out of it now." And sure enough, next morning he was gone.
So he had a premonition of his own death.
Yeah, he had a premonition of his own death, yeah. That was the place called, where we loaded up, was Blankenburg, near Ostend. And then we went across on the craft, and they dumped us at West Capella.
Actually on the beach?
No, we swam.
How far did you have to swim for?
The buffalo swim.
Yes.
Yeah, I would imagine about... Well, you'd swim about a quarter of a mile, I suppose.
Did the waterproofing work okay?
You didn't have waterproofing on buffaloes. They just were amphibious. They were exactly like a small miniature landing craft. They had a door that dropped down. You could take a brain carrier on it.
Did you take brain carriers on them?
I have done. I did on a couple of occasions, but this time I had troops on, Marines.
And didn't water come into them at all?
No. Well, if you got any wash, and you were unlucky enough to get heavy wash, you could get sunk quite easily. Several of them did.
Were you worried about that yourself?
Oh, yes. You were... That was always in your mind. If you've got a heavy swell, that you get swamped. And it all depends how much load you add on, you see.
Did it have armament, the buffalo?
Yes, it had a hurricane.
Which troops did you take across? Did you know which units?
No, I can't remember now. I know they were Marines. I think they were something to do with 43rd. Age has caught up on my memory now.
You think it was 43 Commando?
Okay, yeah.
What was the number of your buffalo?
3 Charlie again. See, in a troop, you still kept your same numbers.
Was your Oerlikon used?
Not on West Capella. We used it a bit on Breskins, but only to return fire.
And so you were actually driving the buffalo yourself, are you?
No, your driver drove the buffalo. You had a bit of a cab on a buffalo. The commander was outside watching what was going on.
Standing up?
That's right. Yeah.
What were you supposed to be doing?
Well, organising where we were going, what we were doing.
Sort of navigating.
That's right, navigating and watching what was happening, generally.
And after Walcheren, what happened to you then?
After Walcheren, we came back to a place called... We came back to Holland anyway. And then we moved up to Kevorden in Holland. And we were stationed there for a little while. And then we went back, took on Avery's again. Scrapped the buffaloes and took on the Avery's for the Rhine crossing.
What kind of Avery's?
The same Avery's.
Fascine
Avery's and Bridge Avery's.
How did you get on with the Dutch population?
Very well, very well. They're very good.
In what way?
In every way. They were really glad to see us and they really made fools of us.
How do you mean?
Well, when we got in, throwing bunches of flowers at you, and they couldn't be... Well, I think they'd have been impressed to see us come. That's what it was.
But weren't the French equally impressed?
Yes, but not so much as the Dutch.
Was there any starvation you saw in the Netherlands?
Yes, in Amsterdam they were really against it. I shall remember I gave one chap some food and that we had, and later on he came back with a chiming clock for me to take home, and we've still got that to the day.
What did you give him?
I gave him cigarettes and some corned beef, one thing another. Apparently they were starving. Yeah.
Why did you pick him out as an individual?
Well, because he came up to us, you know, and started talking to us as best he could. We went into a Dutch hospital. I don't know why we went there, but we saw these poor devils in the beds. They're thin, so they hadn't had any food for years. Terrible.
You were talking about the Rhine crossing. Can you tell me about your part in that, as you remember it?
Well, we... Actually, we didn't do a terrible lot on the Rhine crossing. We went down to do bridging. We did some pontoon rafting. And that was done with a barrage balloon winch. on one side, pulling over the raft made of Bailey Bridge on pontoons. And you can only take one vehicle over at a time. So the winch would pull you over and then back again.
How did your Avery come into it?
Well, we didn't use the Avery until the main bridge was built. And then we went over on the main bridge.
Where was this bridge?
It was somewhere near Gough or Cleves. I can't remember the exact name now. But that was made on barges, and Bailey Bridge on barges, on actual proper barges.
Was there any enemy fire there whilst you were doing the bridging?
No, we didn't come across any enemy trouble at all there. Well, I tell a lie, there was a Messerschmitt, gave us a little bit of hassle, but not a lot. Came in and gave us a bit of flak, but no ground fire at all.
Was the bridge hit by the Messerschmitt?
No. No.
So was the bridging successful?
The bridging was very successful, yes. Yes.
Did you then cross Germany?
Yeah, we crossed into Germany, yes. Went up as far as... then we got as far as Meppen, where it was Krupp's Yard, where they made the German tanks, a lot of the German tanks. And that's where VE Day was, when we got that far, VE Day was declared.
Is Meppen in the Ruhr coalfield?
Yes.
Did you visit any of the concentration camps? Liberate any of the concentration camps?
No. No.
What were your relations with the German population like?
Very good, on the whole. Very good. They, actually, after we got across, our job then was to go up to the Ruhr and pull out the bridges that had been blown up. And what we used to do was to have a squad of German welders and engineers. They used to cut it up in sections. And we put two Churchills in tandem and pulled the sections out so that it could be rebridged.
Were they good workers?
Oh, very good workers. And we got on very well.
Did you ever come across any hostility from German civilians?
Occasionally. You get the odd ones, but on the whole, no, they were very good.
What about the non-fraternization order that was issued?
Well, I can tell you a story about the non-fraternization. When we were doing this cutting of the bridges and running another, we were supposed not to fraternize with the girls, as you know. And the girls used to be on the other side of the river. And we used to take our clothes off, put swimming trunks on, and swim across. And fraternize with them. And we should have got hung, drawn, and quartered if we'd known.
But did the officers turn a blind eye to it?
Yes. Yes.
Did any of the soldiers marry Germans?
Yes. The chap I mentioned earlier, one of my crew married a German girl, Riggs.
He. Where were you mostly based in Germany?
In Germany, Hamm, Lünen, and in that area. And then we moved up from Hamm to Hamburg. And that's where I finished my time.
Did you see much of the destruction of the German cities?
Oh, yes. It's really horrible to see it. Especially through the Ruhr. It was absolutely flattened. We used to have our bars in the German coal mines. Used the bars that they had. And the first time I'd ever been down a mine was in the Ruhr.
What condition did the German civilians seem to be in?
Well, I would imagine that they really took a really bad hammering. Well, you didn't have to imagine it, you could see it. Everything was flat. Our chaps certainly did a good job.
How did the British soldiers behave in Germany, from your observation?
From my observation, they had to behave properly. There was no other thing. I mean, discipline, even at that stage, was still pretty rigid, and you had to behave yourself.
But did you get any damage or thefts or rapes or anything like that?
No. The only thing we did used to get was chaps going out with German girls, and they used to have razor blades in the back of a comb. And these girls used to, when the chaps got a bit amorous, they used to bring this comb out with a razor blade in and cut them. That was in Dortmund, when we were in Dortmund.
How did you know that happened?
Well, because it was a couple of bad chaps got it done to them.
What happened to the women who did it?
Well, they got away, didn't they? Obviously, if that happened to you, you look after yourself. And
so there must have been some hatred of the British at Dortmund.
Oh, there was, at Dortmund, yes. In fact, they had one time of rounding up a lot of these girls, I remember, in Dortmund. They sorted a lot of them out.
In what way?
Well, they went round with a three-tonner truck and picked up a load of the girls and then screened them. Military authorities screened them, trying to find out, you know, the troublemakers.
Did they have any success?
That I don't know.
How many of them do you think they rounded up?
Oh, they used to have a three-tonner full of girls.
Did you see them?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Were they protesting when they were rounded up?
Not a lot, no. They used to go up in the three-tonner, and I don't know who it was interviewing them, but there must have been good reason for it.
Did you enjoy your time in Germany or not?
Yes, I think I did. Yes, because the war was finished, literally, except for Japan, and, you know, we're just waiting then to come home.
I think there's an incident which we missed out which happened when you were at Kukubri. Can you recount it, please?
Yes, when we were at Kukubri, we were reforming then, and we had a replacement, one of the village chaps from my own village, who wrote and told his mother that we were having fantastic time and dancing. Of course, me being a married man, his mother told my wife, and she got up all upset and wrote to me about it. The Sergeant Major consequently got to know. He consequently told the OC. The next thing I knew, I was in front of the OC. Asked me what had happened, and I explained to him. And he said, well, what we'll do, you'll go to Waterloo to pick up your wife, bring her up here for a week, and show her that there's nothing wrong. And this happened. My wife came up to stay with us and had a very nice stay at Kakubri, and eventually went back home.
How did she feel about what the army did?
Oh, she was elated because she was able to be with me, and the story she'd heard was totally untrue.
Did that happen to anybody else?
Not as I know of, but it was a bit embarrassing for me because I had to sit down in front of the OC and write a letter to the wife and inviting her to come.
But did you appreciate what he'd done, or did you wish that he'd never done it?
I did appreciate it, yes, because it put things in order, and it upset me to know my wife was upset at the time.